News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, we are back right now with one of my favorite segments. Every single week we do this on Thursday afternoons at 4 p.m. We gather up a couple of brethren from the broadcast world, and we get on here and call ourselves the Grand Council. So I will conduct the roll call. Dale Jackson from WVNN, program director and morning show host extraordinaire. Are you here, my brother?
I am here.
He is here. And Jeff Poor from Talk 106.5 down on the coast, formerly of WVNN, but now down there talking to Mobile-type people. Are you here?
I am.
He was here. Oh, there you are. Well, sorry. Thank you. You sound lively today, Jeff. I pronounce a quorum. Go ahead and hit the music.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, for those of y'all that are new to the listening audience, every week we do this Grand Council thing. Three of us on here, pinging each other with questions, sort of taking turns and seeing where we go. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other nonetheless. And I'm going to let Jeff start first this time. Go, brother.
Danny Garrett, he's the Education Trust Fund Chairman in the House of Representatives here in Alabama. He and I were talking about this. We have, and this is not just in Alabama, low workforce participation rate. And he figures the minimum wage, the new artificial minimum wage to get people off their couch and to work, and you take away, to get them to stop taking benefits from the federal government, is about $15 an hour now. So if you're an employer, $15 an hour is about what it takes to get people to come and work at your business. The question for you guys, is that sustainable?
No. That is not sustainable. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, if somebody wants to raise their particular businesses, but I don't think there needs to be a statewide, minimum wage of $15. That would not be. That's like an unfunded mandate. I think some businesses would go under because of that. We had a situation when I was in the state senate where Birmingham was going to try and make either $12.50 or $15 an hour the minimum wage just for Birmingham. And we literally had to do it kind of against what I would normally like to do and withdraw that to the state level decision making, because we knew it was going to create a patchwork quilt and put people out of business. You'd have people jumping out of Birmingham just to go to Shelby County and set up their business. So no, I don't think it's sustainable. Dale?
No, I don't think it's sustainable, and I don't think we'll see it either. I think what you'll see is businesses who need employees will raise what they're doing, and that's the way it should go. If they need more workers and they're not getting them for what they're doing, then they're going to have to raise their wage. That's how it's supposed to work.
What do you think, Jeff? Your question. What do you think about it?
Well, I don't think we're going to see a mandatory, statutory $15 an hour. I guess my question is more along this line here is that's what businesses are going to have to pay to get people to come to work. And, they compete against one another. It's a market economy, but we have a player in the market economy right now, the government, that's making it more lucrative to stay at home and play World of Warcraft or whatever than go out and get a job. And if you do the math, what it takes to get somebody to make it worth their while to leave their house and go to work and give up the time that you're getting paid to stay at home, it's about $15 an hour. So I guess I kind of wonder, I would be worried in the future because when you start giving people something, it's hard to take it away.
Oh yeah.
And I think businesses got to start planning to start paying a higher wage, even if the minimum wage isn't $15 an hour.
Well, I think a lot of them are. You're seeing that. You're seeing them offering signing bonuses just for work at McDonald's. You know, you're seeing them offer bonuses to come in and just do an interview, $50 to fill out an application. But then I think some of them are actually raising their minimum wage just for that cycle. And some, though, are like, some fast foods are doing away with employees because of that and putting up electronic kiosks and letting you do it that way. But all right, next question. I'll run this one here. So I've been talking to some legislators today, even yesterday, the last few days. There's a growing mood in the state house right now to do something because they recognize that Governor Ivey kind of left them hanging. She issued an executive order they thought was going to have something more meaningful in it, and it didn't. And they're now all hearing that they're they just woke up and heard it, I guess, that they're a bunch of folks are going out of work before the holidays. So that being said, I know for a fact there's bills that are looking at being dropped in today And I had one high-ranking member of the legislative process tell me they felt like they could even get two-thirds of majority to pass it during the special session without being in the call. Do you think that will happen, Dale Jackson?
Not a chance. Not a chance. You're going to see the normal screaming and crying that you see from some of the Democrats out there that this is going to get people killed. The media will play their role in that aspect of it as well. And then you will see a bunch of cold feet. That's what I think you're going to see if that's the way they're going to start talking. So, no, I don't think there's any chance that happens.
Jeff, what do you think, man?
I think about a 30% chance at best. The leadership and the governor clearly don't want the legislature to do anything. Well, I don't know about the leadership in the legislature, but I do think the governor doesn't want anything. And what do we know about Mac McCutcheon and the House of Representatives? That they kind of do the governor's bidding. I think that this is here's what probably will happen here, guys. You'll see something come out of the Senate, and the House will just do what they always do. They will play dumb, let the Democrats filibuster, let them talk, and then put up amendment after amendment. Oh, looky here. Time's run out. Sorry, guys, maybe next time. That's probably what is going to happen.
Well, yeah, and I don't – you know what? You nailed it, Jeff. I think that was probably closer. I'm going to give it more of a 50-50, and I say that because I think there's a growing discontent even among the members of the body. There's a protest right now on the steps of the State House as we speak, and this is becoming, and every once in a while you get a sense of the political winds. This one's got more grassroots legs than ever, and when people start seeing their gas bills go up, their prices going up on everything at the grocery store, and the heating costs, and then they lose their job at the same time, they're not going to have the luxury of saying, but we could come back in January during the regular session and do something. They're going to start seeing the need, and I'm hoping that they're finally waking up and recognizing they can walk in their authority as a legislature and do something. All right, Dale, your question, brother. What you got?
Jeff Poor kind of got me in trouble with a bunch of people because I said to Cameron Smith, and I'm like, look, KIV is really screwing this up. I think I could probably beat her. I could beat her. Put me in the race. I could beat her. If you were to have a four-way race between myself, Jeff Poor, Phil Williams, and Kay Ivey. Could Kay Ivey beat us without a runoff?
I'm just gonna go ahead and call runoff. I'm calling runoff right now.
Who makes it?
Jeff, what do you think, man? Who makes it?
I think we ought to defer to one copper here, given that she has worked at least in some capacity for all three of us. And she is kind of the innocent bystander here.
Copper, we're allowing you to speak into the Grand Council. Which one of us do you think could take Kay Ivey to a runoff right now?
I don't think there's any right answer for that for me.
Copper, you are wise beyond your years. But take it one step further, though. Is she going to face legitimate competition? And by the way, Dale, I'm not trying to say you're not legitimate, but nonetheless,
how dare you?
I think Tim James is looking at seriously jumping into this race. I think it's very likely he will. He can self-fund if he has to, and I would not be a bit surprised to find out he hadn't already got the organization built. So is she going to face stiff competition in the governor's race?
I think it's a lot stiffer today than it was yesterday, than it was last week. I mean, I think it's a real chance. And by the way, the correct answer is Dale. Dale would win the race.
No, you wouldn't. You got too many negatives. And I already told you, my fundraising host committee will consist of Troy King, Scott Dawson, and Parker Griffith. So, I mean, you're toast, dude. You got too many negatives.
Well, see, but what you're forgetting there is I'm more clean cut, and I've got Copper getting the millennial vote for me. So that's the way
you just want. You want Dale and I to go create the circular firing squad, and then you're Robert Bentley in this equation.
You're exactly right. You're the Bradley Byrne, Tim James faction over there.
Yeah, but back to Tim James. I just don't see it yet. I don't get it. He needed to announce last month. He keeps kind of kicking the can down the road. I it's hard for me to take him seriously at this point.
All right, we're heading into a break, fellers. We just made the rounds one time. We kind of took Dale's question and made a real question out of it, but nonetheless. All right, listen, Right Side Radio. We're with the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from 106.5 and with our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. I'm Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And you can listen to us live no matter where you are, rightsideradio.org. Just click listen live no matter where you is, there we is. Going back right now to the Grand Council. I got Dale Jackson from here at WVNN, and I got Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast. Jeff, I believe you have the next question, man.
Let's talk about the BCA.
Let's talk about
Alabama,
that.
I think a big part of what we're talking about this vaccine mandate and why the governor's not being more proactive, I think you could trace it all the way back to the Business Council of Alabama. Not really an organization that people, unless you're in political circles or maybe is familiar with, but it's starting to feel to me like the BCA is kind of falling into that same trap that the AEA once was a part of our state politics. They're becoming a villainous organization. Do you get the sense, though, that they could ever live up to the days of a Paul Hubbard, that they are really going to be the thorn in the side of conservatism in the state of Alabama?
Dale, what you think, man?
They're getting there. I mean, look, let's just be real about the whole situation. This is very clear. Donald Trump, populism, all that stuff. You're not conservative enough. That argument has lost a lot of punch. And I think that what's happening here is a very similar thing in the state of Alabama that we've seen on the big scale. Oh, the Chamber of Commerce is not necessarily a all-around good guy now, right? So there's some questions about that.
Well, and I agree. And there were times when I worked well with the BCA and times when I flat out opposed them and made them mad, but you got to do that. And the problem we got right now is that they do not have what I would call a conservative bent. They've got to protect ourselves bent. And in this particular case, that's going to come back to bite them, I think, because, I mean, truthfully, look at what they've done. They have somehow coerced or coached or pleaded for Governor Ivey to give them almost like a complete out. But by doing so, they've left her completely exposed. She's their candidate. They've endorsed her. They're going to support her in the race. And yet they've left her more exposed on this issue than ever before because they got her to do what they wanted done by doing nothing. And that's a problem. Finish out your question, Jeff. What you think?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's where this is headed. And, I don't know that we're necessarily ever going to be to the point where, you'll see the Alabama Republican Party pass resolution saying you don't dare take donations or contributions from the BCA. That would be ludicrous. But like they did with the AEA, but it's going to be something I think that guys that are running against incumbents are going to use against incumbents. Like, look at this guy. Look at all the money he's taking from the BCA. He doesn't care about you. He cares about big business. And we get in that sort of old school, Big Jim Folsom populism that we haven't seen in this state in a while.
There it is. All right. Dale, I think you're going to go next, man. What you got?
Well, this is just a quick question here for you, Phil, more so than Jeff, but Jeff, feel free. You talked about the Attorney General and what he just issued.
Yeah.
What's the practical impact?
Well, the practical impact is what he's trying to do is say, and he put it very clear, that the law says that every employer is required to allow their employees to request a religious exemption and to state their grounds. And the employer is allowed to look at it, but they're not allowed to get into the employee's business. They're not allowed to go investigate their lives. And they're required by law to do what's called liberally construing the request in favor of the employee. So that means they can't go and do what we're seeing right now with companies all over the state is, becoming the priest as opposed to the boss. You shouldn't have St. Vincent's Hospital deciding we're more religious than you and we disagree with your position. That's not supposed to be happening. So that's what I see. What he's trying to do is place emphasis on it, remind people where it's at, and I think a lawsuit's coming, so he's laying the stage.
Yeah, they're citing the Pope in some of this stuff. I mean, it's wild. It really is wild to see what we're seeing.
It is wild.
There's just too much stuff going on right now to think that we're not going to see either A. I mean, who knows how long it will take to play out in the courts, and if you could get any relief from a federal judge while this is being settled. But I think the parts are coming in together. The pieces are coming into place. We're going to see some of these legislators at least try something.
I know they are, and I think the bill was already dropped in. They convened about an hour ago, I believe, and I'm pretty sure that bills were dropped in immediately. That's what they usually do. They call roll and start dropping in bills, and I know for a fact they were being done.
One just got filed, and I'm looking at it here. It is the same guidance along those lines from the Attorney General. It's got 20 sponsors on the Republican side that would offer religious exemptions and medical exemptions.
There you go. Who was the senior? Who was the lead sponsor on that? Chris Elliott.
How did you know?
Because I've been talking to people.
So I got a draft of it, and I'm about to drop it out, about to post it on Yellowhammer. But he's got a ton of sponsors on it.
Yeah, do me a favor and shoot me a copy of that when you get a chance, man.
All right, we'll do.
Look at you guys from two different worlds. Look at the 1819 Project and Yellowhammer playing nice together. How cute.
It's love in the sandbox. All the same sandbox, brother. All the same sandbox. All right, fellas, we are out of time. Appreciate you, as always, with the Grand Council. Jeff Poor from down there on the Mobile side, and our own Dale Jackson up here on the North Alabama side. And, guys, you have a great night.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. All right, folks, that's our Grand Council. And I love that segment because I get perspective. Every once in a while, I hear a nugget somewhere in there, and I think, I didn't ever think to coin that phrase, or I hadn't thought of it in that particular way. And every once in a while, those two guys who I do lean on for advice and look at their experiences, it encourages me to hear sometimes, too, that we're all in agreement, which means I feel like I'm not off. That's good. How can I be off? We're solid conservative and just plain right, right? Hey, we come back. I'm going to tell you about this thing that the Attorney General just posted, literally, while I was in the middle of describing religious accommodations. The Attorney General issued a statement on religious accommodations. It is such breaking news and so good to look at right now. I'm posting pieces of it on Twitter even as we speak, and I'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just plain right. Hey, call in if you want to. 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. We'll be right back.